Father, I thank you for who you are and just how you want to speak to us, and you want to keep changing and growing us. And Lord, today as we open your word, I pray that we will just be hungry for what you've got for us. Lord, we want to lean in, and Lord, you only want so much good for us, and like I pray this morning, Lord, you're a good Father, and you just want to see us growing and developing, just like a natural father does. And you're just so proud of us when we get things. And so I just pray that today will be one of those days when we just click on to what you've really wanted to show us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just, I understand Russell and Katrina had a little boy this week, so we need to keep praying for them. I think she ended up having to have a cesarean, and there's a few complications, but the baby's good, and so it'd be good just to keep them in our prayers at the moment. And Norris tells me we run the rugby last night, so all is good. All is good in the world. How are all the Calebs today? Caleb, how are you? There he is. We've got some Calebs in the house today after last week's message. We haven't got any. We've got, just put our hands up if we're Calebs. Roger's a Caleb. Yeah. We talked about that last week, how staying youthful and young right into our old age, because, you know, there's no room for retirement and old crustiness in the church and God's kingdom. We've got to keep active and vigorous. Personally, I had a couple of very busy days earlier in the week, and then the next day I was a little bit slow getting going, and my cheeky son comes over and says, "Dad, did you listen to the sermon on Sunday?" So anyway, yes, sometimes our words come back to us, don't they? We do have to pace ourselves a little. I mean, there's no question about that. And just a little thought. On Sundays, I say to our guys on the farm, only do what really needs to be done. That means you milk the cows and you look after the animals and you do nothing more. You don't do any fencing or maintenance or weeds or fertilizer or all those, because it's the Lord's Day and we need to take some time out, don't we? And for me, actually, it has always been Sunday and really still is, even though I might do a little bit of work up here, but it's really fun. So that I think we need to aim to have one quieter day a week. Otherwise, we're not going to sustain being a Caleb. Now, there's some principles in God's word. I just have been thinking about that during the week. Andy, I think it's time to close these doors. I'm pretty vigorous and but getting a bit nippy. And I think there's some dairy farmers here who haven't had that for a while. So I've got a prophetic word for all the dairy farmers this morning, that you guys need to take some days off as it gets quieter. Is that all right, Amory? Martin? Yeah. John? Jill? What about mums? Oh, mums. Okay, well, when things quieten down a bit, mums can have a day off too. That'll be in about 5 years' time when they're all at school. Okay. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy to take a break and to have a regular day off, but we need to be wise about this. There's principles in God's word, and I just felt we needed to, as well as being these vigorous young Calebs, we need to look after ourselves. Anyway, that was last week. Today, Joshua chapter 10. Today I'm going to talk about time and energy, or breakout versus breakdown. And so we're going to look at this. And if you tuned in to where we're going with Joshua, some of you might notice something today. We're in chapter 10. Last week we're in chapter 14. So we're going backwards. And the reason is because Robert reminded me a week or two ago that we've missed out a lot of good bits through Joshua. Didn't you, Robert? Robert's been reading it through and he said, Hey, Pastor Roger, we've missed out some bits. And so I thought, okay, we need to go back and deal with this, some of these things properly. Next week, we're going back into chapter 9, and that'll be the last week, and it'll be a summary. So today, we're in chapter 10. We're going to read from verses 6 to 15. So let's read this and see what we can learn from this. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." Just a very quick summary, what was going on here. Who were these Gibeonites? Next week we will learn about them and how they had tricked Joshua and the Israelites into making a treaty with them. They were people living in the land of Canaan. Foolishly, really, Joshua had agreed to do a treaty with them, and now they're under attack, these people. So they come to Joshua, who was camped at Gilgal. What's significant about Gilgal? If you remember back, that was where they first camped, just outside of Jericho, and where they renewed the covenant with God. It's interesting that all the way through the book of Joshua, they go back to Gilgal. They're based there. That's their starting point with God. That's where they go back to. That was where they renewed the covenant of circumcision, and they put themselves right with God, and they cut out some stuff in their lives and focused totally on God. So they keep going back to that point. These guys asked for help. Come and let's see what they do, because all these other kings had joined forces against them. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, he said, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jasher, which is actually a military record that the Israelites kept of all their battles, and it's not in the Bible. As is written in the book of Jasher, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. So they went back to base. So we've got the picture. These Gibeonites had tricked Joshua and the Israelites into making this treaty with them. They were under attack. There were actually five Amorite kings, and their armies had joined forces and were attacking them. They were attacking, you know, these people in the land of Canaan were attacking each other. And it was really because of this treaty that the Gibeonites had made with Joshua, and they weren't comfortable with that, and they wanted to deal with them before they joined up with Joshua and became even a bigger threat. Joshua probably didn't really have to go to their defense, but he had made a treaty. They had a moral obligation, which he honored, because he was a man of integrity. And when you make a commitment to someone, you need to keep it, even if it's inconvenient or it might be costly. And Joshua was a man like that. And so he and the whole army went to their defense. And they marched all night from Gilgal, and that was a distance of 20 miles, probably about 30-odd Ks. It was uphill. They climbed about 3,500 feet overnight. It was all uphill, a long distance, and they marched right through the night. And they made a surprise attack at dawn, just summarizing what we've read. And the strategy worked really well because they caught them out. With God's help, Joshua and his army really were defeating them. The five kings and their armies were retreating quickly. They were fleeing back to their fortified cities as quickly as they could. And then at midday, Joshua prayed, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." Verse 13, and we'll have that on the screen. The Bible tells us that after Joshua's prayer, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I don't know about the science around this, but I have heard scientists have run a computer program back in time, and they can do this, and that they've found there's a missing day. I'm not sure about that because I don't understand the science around it, whether that's really accurate or not, but I have heard that. But there's no doubt about it that the Bible clearly says in this account that we read in verses 12 to 14, and also the prophet Habakkuk refers to this time in Habakkuk 3 verse 11. It's clear that the Bible speaks to us about the fact that the sun didn't set for another day and a half after Joshua prayed. It was a long day. And I mean, if you're a scientist or you've done science at school, you might be wondering, well, wonder what really happened. Was it the sun that stood still, or was it the earth stopped spinning on its axis, or what about gravity? What really happened? I mean, maybe you can study it and talk about it and think about it at Life Group, because I don't know. It's a pretty puzzling thing. I'm not going to get into that too much today because I don't understand the science myself. But Joshua was pretty bold to pray that prayer, wasn't he? Especially out loud in public. And I was thinking about this. Why did he pray that? And this is what I want to talk about a little bit more today. Because it was actually very simple. Joshua prayed that prayer because he was concerned that they didn't have enough time to defeat the enemies before darkness fell. He was concerned that they were running out of daylight and the job would be left half done. Have you ever felt like that? Not enough hours in the day. I think we've probably all been there when we've had a project on, we've got work happening and this stuff. Really, when you think about it, I think time is one of the most valuable things we have, isn't it? I mean, we can have all the money in the world, but if we run out of time and our life is gone, well, not much use to us. And the interesting thing is that every day we all have the same amount of time, same amount of hours allotted to each of us every day. And yet some people seem to accomplish so much with their day, and some of the rest of us don't accomplish so much. Just some things to think about. Joshua had five Amorite kings and their armies to defeat in one day. He had a pretty big job in front of him. Pretty big job. So much to do and so little time to get it done. In actual fact, thinking about Joshua as the leader of that situation, I wonder if he may have been a little overwhelmed, actually, with the task in front of him at that time. Because he knew that it would be so much easier to defeat these people while they were on the run, while there was daylight, while they were out in the open, while they were vulnerable, rather than once they got back to their fortified cities and they had an opportunity to regroup and get strong again. And I think Joshua had a real sense of urgency. This was his moment, this was his time, and they had to do this as quickly as they could. But he could just see that the day was going to run out and they weren't going to be able to finish the task. So what did he do? He really stepped out and he prayed one of the boldest prayers in the whole Bible, actually, didn't he? It really was a bold prayer. And he prayed it in front of all Israel. He didn't just pray it quietly, "Lord, if it's your will, could you help us here and we could do with a bit more daylight or something." It seems as though he boldly stepped out and he made a declaration in front of all his warriors and his generals and his men. And what did he say? In verse 12, the second part, he said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon," over the city. "O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." I don't know, they must have been able to see the moon as well. Sometimes you can during the day. And it really was more of a declaration, wasn't it, than a prayer, if you think about it. And I was just thinking about this, and what we speak, I think, is important, isn't it? What we declare is important. And there's a couple of quick verses. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." You know, sometimes I think we go through life cursing ourselves, cursing our family, and we swear and we carry on, and there's no, that doesn't produce anything good. It actually just does a lot of damage. Because what we speak, there's power in that. There's power in words. And that's what I think Joshua just knew and he put into place that day. And Proverbs reminds us, Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move." And I think the sort of mountains that Jesus was probably really referring to is the things that are blocks in our own life, where the enemy sort of seems to hold us down, and our families are in bondage, and our marriages are struggling, and our kids are playing up, and we need to speak to those things. We need to take authority over those things. We need to make declarations over those things for good. I think that we need to be speaking life and hope and blessing as much as we possibly can, probably all the time, actually, if we can, rather than let's not be negative. And because there's power in our words. Joshua stepped out and he declared it. And as a result, God gave them another whole day of daylight. That's what the Bible tells us. Another whole day. As well as the time that they needed, the other miraculous thing that I noticed is that God also gave them the energy they needed to keep fighting for 2 days without a break, and after having marched all night the night before as well. So that's my reckoning, about 2.5 days. These soldiers were going strong. They must have really had that spirit of Caleb in them, a lot of adrenaline, and they were on a mission, weren't they? And what they accomplished in those 2.5 days is actually incredible. Have we ever felt we're not enough time and not enough energy, or perhaps we're a little bit overwhelmed with life? You know, sometimes as mothers, as dairy farmers, or whatever we're doing, and we've got a lot of work on, sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? I think it's okay to feel like that. And actually, I think it may well be an indication, a good indication for us, a good indicator that things are moving ahead and that vision is unfolding for us. Think about this. We start off with a vision. We want to grow our business. We want our family to succeed. We want our church to grow. We've got our 2021 vision, and we start to see some progress and things start to happen. It starts to get exciting. We start to get some momentum happening in our life and our business and our finances, and things are starting, they're on a roll. You know what I'm talking about? And then you're starting to, you know, you're starting to get some real breakthrough, and the church is growing, the business is growing, and then the systems and the processes that have been fine up until now, suddenly they're not coping anymore. I just want to give you an example of this. Imagine if we'd had twice as many people at our Father's Day service 2 or 3 weeks ago than what we did. We had about 190 people, close to 200 people here 2 or 3 weeks ago. What if we'd had 380, 400 people here? Would we have coped? Do you think? Some of you are nodding. What's that, Norris? Would have been a challenge. Esther's agreeing. Could have been a bit of a challenge. See, that's really our vision as a church, is that, hey, we're going to have more people coming and more influence, more people getting saved. But there's always going to be, this tension between a great vision and the reality of it, which puts pressure on us. But I think we could have coped. I think our parking guys, imagine if we'd had to park 150, 200 cars. And there's only probably, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 car parks outside there. What would they have done? We couldn't leave people parked right down a couple of K's away unless they ran vans, or they might have had to open up a field if it was dry enough. I'm sure our parking guys would have worked out something, wouldn't they? And then our barbecue team. What would you have done, Est? You would have sent someone, I think our team would have coped. You would have sent someone off to buy a few more dozen eggs and some bacon and some bread. And I think we could have done it, do you think? And if we wouldn't have had enough seats, would we? I think we're probably maxed out at about 200 seats in this place, practically. But we could have found some more in the staff room, brought them in. We could have put the bar leaners around and got people standing all around the outside. We could have had kids seated and then they were going out. And we could have done it, couldn't we? It wouldn't have been cool. But you see, it could have been really cool, or it could have been a real breakout to take us to a new level, or it could have actually caused a real chaos and a breakdown, which would have actually, you know, might have put us off the whole idea. If that happens next Father's Day or any given week, are we going to cope? What about the children's areas? See, they would have been okay. They already had extra spaces worked out. They had smaller numbers. See, the children's areas, they're already thinking ahead for all this sort of stuff. But we need to start thinking, because it's great to have a big vision, which is all exciting, and then it starts to happen, and whoa, we can't cope with this. So I'm just wanting you to think about that. And I think that was the sort of situation that Joshua was in, because we can either have breakout to a whole new place or break down where there's chaos and stress and people getting angry and losing it, and it's not really what we're about at all. Joshua was at that point, and he wanted to have a total defeat of these Amorites, or alternatively have them disappear into the night to regroup and fight another day. That was the option that was in front of Joshua. And it's important to notice that I think that Joshua wasn't just crying out to God and leaving it all to God. They'd done their part. They'd done all they could to set themselves up for victory. They'd marched all night. They'd attacked at dawn, a surprise attack. That was a great strategy. They'd fought their hardest. They were doing great. And all they needed was more time. The only thing they couldn't provide was the time. And that's what God gave them, is what he could provide. And our 2021 vision, you know, we may not realize this, but we're already starting to get a few things in place so that we don't have a breakdown when we get people coming. And so I'm just letting you know, if you ask the leaders, there's a few little things that we're working on at the moment already, starting to think about this. We're not making big dramatic changes, but we're getting a little bit more focused. I'm encouraging all the leaders, we need to focus in on what's our role, what are we wanting to achieve in our areas. Let's look at it. Let's re-look at things, those core responsibilities. Let's look objectively at what we're doing. We're thinking ahead. How can we grow our teams? We're thinking about the spaces that we're going to require and the practicalities of how things... We're trialing some new things. I don't know whether you've noticed in church. We're starting to trial a few new things. Have you noticed? Just little things. There's little changes starting to happen. We're not doing major changes. We're just doing some new things. We're starting to think ahead, because if we're believing that God's calling us as a church to reach out to our community, that more people are going to come, we've got to think about this. Otherwise, it'd be a great vision, but when it happens, it'll be chaos and it won't last. We'll have breakdown instead of breakout. But the thing is that all we have to do is what we can do, and we don't need to stress and panic about whether we'll have the time and the energy or whether we'll cope, because if we've done our part with God's help, it'll be fine. And it's the same with family life. It's the same with your kids, Anne Marie. You know, the blessing of children. Same with our farms. You know, the blessing of having a farm. And we've got all the responsibilities and all the cows and all the calves and all the stuff that goes with that. But, you know, if we're prepared and doing our part, and it's what God's called us to do, He will give us the time and He'll give us the energy and He'll give us the strategy. And sometimes we'll have to cry out to Him and we'll have to speak authoritatively over things to have the breakthroughs and rather than the breakdown. Okay, so you guys understanding this? Another thing that I noticed about Joshua is his calmness in the midst of what could have been a crisis for him, as he watched the enemies disappearing. In our humanness, what would we have done? I think we would have just got angry. Come on, guys. Come on, you guys. We need to fight harder. We need to run faster. We need to be killing more of the enemy. Come on, guys. He could have been angry at his team and his generals and just really, speaking down on them. But he didn't get angry. He was calm. He was reasonable. I think he was flowing in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he had an enabling, and he knew that he'd done everything that he could do, and he just cried out for God for the part that he couldn't. And that's a big difference between our human way of coping and with God when we're under pressure, the way that we can cope with His help. And it's just a whole different spirit about that. We need to get to be like that. We need to prepare practically, but I think we also need to get ourselves in the right space. We need to keep ourselves in the right space internally. And I think, Joshua, right from the beginning, the word of God was to him to just immerse himself in the Lord day and night. And that's what I believe Joshua did. He just focused in. He was feeding himself on the word of God just day and night. That was the thing that God told him to do as a leader. Just keep keep reading my word. And he was, I believe he had a calm and he had a settled spirit on the inside because he had the peace of God, that he was in the right place doing what God had called him to do, and he was anointed for the task, and he knew that God would come through for him when he needed him in a crisis. So that's my encouragement to you guys today. And I want to finish today with a song that Joe played last Sunday night. And I wonder if the worship team could quietly come up as we listen to this song. Joe brought an awesome word on Sunday night at Tiyuku, and sadly, I don't think it was recorded for some reason. But there's this song, and let's just play it through. Let's just start playing it. It's a few minutes. And it's really about us and time and getting ourselves in the right space and getting ourselves in tune with God, getting our our heart in rhythm with God's heart and our spirit in tune with God's spirit and having the love and the peace of God and Jesus at the center. I think that's the other thing. Our vision is that we always keep Jesus at the center, and our mission is to reach out to people and just to with God's love, we'll be able to accomplish this. Let's play it, guys, if we can. Let's just listen to this. Just let this soak into your spirit. And so I think this is a bit of a key, what Joshua had and what we can have. How about if we just stand? If anyone would like some prayer today, if you're struggling with all sorts of stuff, you know, you just need to get centered in Jesus again. Just get right back to that relationship with Him and just breathe in that love of the Holy Spirit. And just rest and refresh and give your life to Jesus, perhaps for the first time. You know, He is the master of everything. He's the one. He's the way. It's the one we need to keep centered in. So if you want to come, just come, and we'll just love to pray with you. And let's pray for each other today. Let's pray for, that as a church and as a people, we're not stressed and worried, and but just really calm and taking authority when we need to, and just flowing in the grace of God and the love of God. So I bless you guys.